Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Boy, our children do love to snack, and snacking on unhealthy foods is a major factor contributing to the increase in childhood obesity that we are seeing so much of today. My guest is Dr. Brian Wansink. He's director of the Food and Brand Lab. So, Dr. Wansink, tell us about parents and snacking and what's going on out there. Give us your advice for better snacks for our children that they'll actually want to eat to help curb this childhood obesity epidemic.
Well, snack is almost like the dinner table. It's a battleground where children and parents meet, because it's the one place where, one of the few places where kids can sort of resist something, you know, without that much pushback from the parents. But one of the keys for good snacking ends up being to have a little bit of variety. So we just published a paper in the journal Pediatrics, where what we did is we took kids and we gave them either all of the chips and crackers they could eat for an afternoon snack, or all the cheese they could eat, those, like, those little round Baby Bell cheeses that have like 80 calories. Or we give them all the vegetables they could eat, or we give them all the combination of cheese and vegetables they could eat. And one of the things we ended up finding is that, you know, if kids eat potato chips and crackers, it's unbelievable how much they pack away. But if you give a kid a choice between vegetables and cheese together, what happens is not only do kids eat about 70% fewer calories, but they rate themselves just as full, and after they finish eating, just as happy. Because what's going on is it takes a little bit longer to eat cheese and vegetables. It's kind of fun to, you know, pair them off with each other. And also, it's just a lot more texture differences that makes it a little more enjoyable.
Well, and the fact is that, you know, kids these days are much more aware of healthy foods and that sort of thing. So, but if it's quite true that if you give a child a choice between an apple, here it is, here's your apple, or here's a cereal bar, or some potato chips, really, which one are they going to pick? So do we keep those things completely out of our house? Is there a place for them somewhere? And what do you think about granola bars?
Well, we think there's a place for them somewhere. Because the last thing you want, if you take everything away and you only have the super healthy stuff, nothing that's super fun or indulgent for kids, what happens is eventually they revolt. They push back. Actually, it's called reactance. It's why when you say, hey, you know, in school lunchrooms, all we need to do is get rid of all the cookies, get rid of all the chocolate milk, only have tofu and bean sprouts. What's going to happen is the kids are going to react. They're going to react by not eating there anymore. And that's what we don't want, is to set things up so it's a revolt. So, I mean, if you're going to do this combination snack bit with cheese and with, you know, and with fresh vegetables, don't do it every day. You know, work it in the rotation maybe once or twice a week. And the other once or twice a week, they can have their indulgence.
Okay, so we can kind of mix and match those things. And you found that vegetables and cheese go together well. So if we put out a pretty, does it matter how you, did you just like slap it out on the table?
Or that's right. Then we just slapped it, had a bunch of cut up vegetables and had a bunch of those little bitty, single
little cheeses, but does it matter? Like, because if you're at a party and there's a pretty cheese plate, you know, you always want to do that. And I'm lucky, Dr. Wansink, because my kids will eat healthy, and they like that because they know that I put time and effort into it. But does how we prepare it affect how they, you know, go about eating it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, so I wrote the book Mindless Eating, and there's a lot of tips about how you can actually get people to mindlessly eat better at mindlessseating.org. And part of the presentation ends up being, hey, if you give a kid a cheese platter, he or she might overeat. But in the same way 100-calorie packs work for most of us, just individually wrapped small cheeses work well for kids. Because they're kind of, you know, whether they be string cheese or those little Baby Bell round cheeses or wedges, because they're fun for kids to open. And, you know, kids open it, they eat it, they eat some vegetables, and it actually gives a really nice sort of combination of things.
Now, what do you think about things like yogurt? And, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, we'll do yogurt and granola today, or you'll do, I mean, my kids invariably want their snack 20 minutes before I'm ready to serve them dinner. But, you know, and then I have to say, sorry, you should have eaten when you got home from school. But, Really? So what, you know, what do you do about getting creative? Because like you say, they're going to get bored pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we've ended up doing, and we've got here my food and brand lab up at Cornell. We do a lot of studies with difficult eaters and some things like this. And one thing that we always start with is we always have all the healthy stuff be the default stuff that people can get, that the kids can get without having to ask for it. But if they want that, what's it called, ice pop or that little indulgence thing, they actually have to ask. They have to ask for it. And in some cases, it ends up just being a little bit more of a barrier than they want to deal with. They just need to open the refrigerator and grab a small yogurt than they would have to kind of big the other granola bar.
Well, I mean, it's true. And just feeding kids healthy. Now, what do you recommend for parents whose kids are absolutely already on the junk food thing? How do you ease that sort of thing in? They're going to look at that and go, cheese bells, really? Vegetables, Ma? You expect me to eat carrots and apples with that cheese?
Yuck. Yeah. Well, there's one of a couple things will happen is that to say, I'm not buying that for you anymore. It's gonna get, you're just drawing battle lines. The one thing to do is say, oh, you know, sorry, we ran out. And all of a sudden, they can eat what's healthy or not at all. If they decide not to eat at all, you know, I'm almost guaranteed that if you serve vegetables first that night at dinner time, they're likely to eat a whole more vegetables than they typically do.
You know, that is a really, really excellent point, Dr. Wansink, because when I give my children their salad and I do not put down the other part of their dinner, while they're sitting there waiting for the other part to be ready, they eat that whole salad.
Oh, yeah, it's great. But what happens if you were to put that there, that and the pasta right next to each other? They're not going to give that salad a second look.
That's right. They're going to start right away in with the hot food or the pasta or something like that. Now, what about healthy things that we can send? Because they all have to have a snack at school now. You know, you're supposed to send a healthy snack to school. So what do you recommend? Because sometimes those little cheese things go good. But my kids don't like the cheese sticks. They say they get soft and mushy before they get a chance to eat them.
Well, there's a lot of other kinds of cheeses they have then too. Because those are sort of soft cheeses to begin with, but there's harder cheeses that'll kind of make that transition. Well, you know, and I think in a case like this, trying to be a little bit creative with what you do might be a little bit easier. And one of the things we find is just simply going on the web and typing in creative snacks. You'll get a lot of ideas of little easy things that you can make the night before. And that ends up being the kind of the key is either making them the weekend before or the night before, because it'll take the same amount of time doing it the night before as it will the morning of, but you're going to be under a lot less stress and you're not going to cut corners.
Well, that's actually another really great point is the planning part of it. If you make this stuff in advance, then it makes it much easier, doesn't it, to get your kids ready in the morning when everybody's rushing around.
Yeah, and we actually just submitted a study called Cooking with Kids. One of the things that we ended up finding in the study is that when you involve kids in meal preparation, or you can even just say making their own, helping make their own sack lunch, it's not that they necessarily eat a lot healthier, but what it is that they eat a lot more variety, and they'll eat healthier things to give it to them. They might still eat the same amount of calories.
And I'm a big fan of that. I like my kids to help me in the garden, planting those vegetables, weeding those. Well, they don't love the weeding part. But then, you know, harvesting and cooking. Give us, in the last 30 seconds, Dr. Wansink, your best advice for parents and healthy snacks to change your child's cravings.
For better or for worse, the nutritional gatekeeper, the person who purchases and prepares most of the food in the family, controls 72% of what their family eats. But you do it for better or for worse. So don't say, I can't control my kids, because you can. You're probably the role model. You might not be doing it right to begin with. A lot more tips at mindlesseating.org.
Mindlesseating.org, and I love that, nutritional gatekeeper. That's what we are, parents. So don't be pushed around. You buy the healthy things and give your children a good variety. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.